Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom here with our final hour, Lee Williams, the gun writer, here in Sarasota at the Herald Tribune. Man, it's been an awful lot of fun. I'm looking forward to coming back real soon because this is home to me.
Good.
And I miss the weather. I can't say that I am looking forward to heading back tomorrow morning to 18, whatever.
In an ice storm.
Yeah, I'm still worried about getting out of here. But that's okay if I'm not. I know I've got a place to stay here on the beach, and it works for me.
Do the Monday night show from here.
I'm not unaccustomed to doing that myself. And we've had a lot of fun here. We've had a lot of great guests. We opened up the program with Alan Gottlieb, a very sad topic of discussion with Justice Antonin Scalia's passing yesterday. When that news came, you and I will always, to us, this is a Kennedy moment. This is a 9/11 moment. We will remember where we were because of what we do, really, and what he meant for us.
Well, like AWR said, Reagan, Thatcher.
He put Reagan in there. He put Thatcher in there. And, you know, these are, wow, when you're at this level, and he is, he really was, that's the word I'm looking for as far as conservatism goes. When the importance of the Supreme Court.
Bulwark.
Bulwark was the headline that AWR Hawkins gave, and I can't really think of anything better, a better description of it. But I didn't expect to hear him say Reagan. That's monstrous.
Yeah.
That's absolutely monstrous. We have a great hour lined up for you right now. Jeff Young. Jeff, welcome to the program, brother. It's great to see you here.
Thank you. Nice to see you, too.
Jeff, you are a, can I call you a pro-gun attorney?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can call me a pro-gun American, but I am also an attorney by trade, yes.
You are the gun lawyer in Sarasota.
That's what Mr. Williams has dubbed me.
He's dubbed you the gun lawyer, huh? Let's talk with you a little bit about Scalia. Sure. Where were you when you first heard it? What was the first thing that went through your head?
I was actually working on the gun show yesterday. I set up booths there to sell NFA trusts and stuff, so I was working the gun show, and I hadn't really been online and didn't even know it had happened until I got in the car. And I was driving home, and at a stoplight like we all do, I was playing around with my phone and catching up on Facebook, and I noticed what happened. My first thoughts were probably as everybody else's are, that those of us who are pro-Constitution conservative individuals have a new problem to deal with that's probably greater than any of the previous problems that we've had recently.
A game changer.
You know that? Okay, yeah, that's it. That's right there. That's a game changer. How big of a problem do we really have? Now, you were here. You've been here for the whole show. You heard Alan Gottlieb. Mm-hmm. First off, your thoughts on what he said. From the perspective of the Second Amendment Foundation and a man who is now funding over 30 active court cases in defense of our right to bear arms across the country today.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that all your previous guests have said. Scalia was what they call an originalist. He was somebody that cared about what the actual words in the document were and what the founders meant when they write them. I consider myself an originalist as I practice law as well. There aren't many of those around anymore. He was pretty much the most hardcore originalist on the court. So anybody that you put in there, I don't care who the president's going to be, whoever you put in there is not going to be as originalist as he was. Just somebody like that is going to have a hard time getting confirmed by anybody these days. But certainly it's going to sway the court because, as everybody's probably already said, it's basically a 4-4 deadlock as we sit here today. So it's going to be very important to get that fifth person in there to decide which case he's going to rule on.
How pathetic is it that we know the court is 4-4? We shouldn't be thinking in these terms with a court. We shouldn't be politicizing this. We shouldn't know how four people are going to rule. We shouldn't know that the fix is in when a Second Amendment case or an abortion case comes. But we do. How bad is that for American jurisprudence?
It's very bad. I always find it funny whenever these cases are up there. They always talk about a swing vote, and it's usually Justice Kennedy. Nobody ever talks about, are any of the other four liberal judges going to swing to the other side? Because they're not. Everybody knows what side they're going to be on. The conservative, quote, judges do have the tendency sometimes to sway a little bit. We know Justice Roberts swayed a little bit and went kind of the other side, I guess, for lack of a better term, on Obamacare. Kennedy's kind of moved around a little bit on some things. So there's always a debate about which way those people are going to go, but there's never a debate about which way the liberals on the left are going to go, because they're never going to go anywhere other than.
And that's a great point. That's a great point. Let's take the Second Amendment case in point.
Sure.
We know, as Alan Gottlieb pointed out in the first hour of today's program, we know flat out what the four liberal justices are going to do. That's why I said the fix is in.
Sure.
We know it, and that's sad. you wouldn't feel that way about abortion. You'd think there could be a swing vote in this case, as you said, Kennedy. You never know how he's going to vote. So I never looked at it in that from that perspective. Go ahead.
That's amazing. I hadn't either, Jeff, and we've known each other for quite a while.
Yep.
You bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, it's sad because it's just the makeup. Courts in general, and I see it on a local level as well when you talk with local judges and stuff, it's all become political. It's very rare that any case is not looked at from any position other than political. Our judges here are elected. They have to get voted in, and they have to run for re-election as well. So there are often times where I see local judges here and other counties across the state where I don't think they're making decisions specifically based on what the law is, but what they think the public is going to perceive their ruling as, and is it going to look bad against them when elections come? Does that mean somebody's going to run against them because people write bad articles in the newspaper about what their ruling is or whatever? So politics has been in our legal system for a long time.
But you know, the sad part about that is when most people go to the polls,
sure,
they check off a judge's name. They don't even know who the judge is.
Usually.
And that's bad.
Yep.
And that needs to change. Now, in your opinion, is it time now to look at getting away from a lifetime appointment? Should we term Supreme Court justices? Of course, it's when you agree with the justices, no, we want to keep them in, we want to keep the 5-4 majority. But then there's a shift, and somebody dies, or a new president comes in, and now we're looking at that right now today, and we know how devastating this can be.
Yes.
So we're hopeful that the Senate, as Alan Gottlieb said, does what they're supposed to do, as AWR says, does what McConnell is supposed to do, right? Is it time we look at that?
It's a potential thing to look at. Yes, you get an issue where somebody's in there for life and you get stuck with them and they won't change their rulings or whatever. But I think the reason why the founders probably came up with that concept is if it's rotating every 12 years, you have no stability in the law. So if you have a set of judges that rule on this particular issue, let's say the Heller decision, guns are okay. If they swap out in 12 years, a whole other court can come in and say, well, we disagree with what the previous court said, so we're going to change it. So I think the reason they wanted lifetime appointments is to have some stability in the law so that you don't just have courts overturning previous decisions every time somebody rolls out of there.
But isn't it true, though, that Supreme Courts, for the most part, are pretty loath to overturn themselves? The reason being is, their decisions can be overturned.
Sure.
So they tend not to look at those cases again. Do they accept Heller right now, in your opinion, as settled law? Now, Gottlieb will tell you flat out, and you're laughing, and I know, but I have to ask the question. The four liberal justices, here we go, right back there again, as Alan said, would easily take that case up again, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Sad that we know it. How sad that you're smiling because you knew the answer before I even asked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think because, again, you're talking with people who are now political, and they're not supposed to be. So, yes, they tend to want to follow precedent because they, in a general sense, want that stability in the law. But if you get somebody in there that is a really hard political person, whether it's on the left or on the right, their politics will tend to dictate how they view every case. Mm-hmm. So, and overturning cases isn't bad. I mean, originally we had the Dred Scott decision, which said it was okay to own individuals.
Right.
And then the Supreme Court came out later and said, no, you can't. So there is a precedent for the court overturning things as political winds change and as the makeup of the court changes.
There are a lot of them, but as far as the amount of decisions go, they are few and far between.
Sure, they
I'm
are.
Trying to remain optimistic
here
in the face of what we're looking at. So another question for you then is, I actually got into a discussion with somebody a couple years back. We were talking about the court cases. I like to remind people on Armed American Radio just how important the makeup of the courts are. We are now seeing elections having consequences. It's slapping us right in the face. Mm-hmm. Most people don't like to think about it, but it was got involved with a conversation guy, Lee, this will crack you up. And he says to me, Mark, it was a lifetime appointment. A couple hundred years ago, the average lifespan was 50. It wasn't 85, 86, 80.
Exactly.
Any truth to that?
Yeah. No, I think that has a lot to do with it, certainly. And the people they were appointing were already elder statesmen or they'd been practicing law for a long time. There's no age limit on it, but they generally appointed older people who had already been practicing law, and they were only going to be on there for 15, 20 years before they either retired voluntarily or mm-hmm. passed away. So like everything else in our life, the lifespan expectancy has changed a lot of the way courts look at things. I would not personally, as a lawyer, be opposed to some sort of constitutional amendment, which is what it would take to change the lifetime appointment, limiting it to something 12 years, 15 years.
What about by age?
Mandatory age retirement.
We have that in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you do? Tell me about it.
What's the age for a judge? I know Lee just retired.
Hayworth, yeah.
Yeah, Lee Hayworth, really good jurist.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
we have a lifetime appointment. We expect judges to do the right thing. We expect judges to recuse themselves when they should. sometimes in the Supreme Court they don't, and we know they should have. Kagan mm-hmm. was
several times she didn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, it was crazy. Okay, well, here we're getting ready to take a break. We're saved by the bell. And that was it was going to be a long-winded answer, but we'll see if I can remember it through the break and come back. The fact is that they don't always do what they're supposed to do, yet we expect elderly people to look at their driver's licenses and stay off the road, but at the same time, we're going to let them make decisions well into their 80s and greater. What does that tell us? Now, I'm just being a little facetious here. I'm using that as an example, but it is a true statement.
Sure.
We ask people to look at their driving age. Hey, Dad, I don't want you on the road anymore for your own safekeeping. But that's okay. You can make a decision. We'll let you make decisions that will impact Americans for generations to come.
Sure.
Something to think about. We'll be back on Armed American Radio right after this. We're talking with Jeff Young, Florida pro-gun attorney, Lee Williams, the gun writer, Sarasota Herald Tribune. We'll be right back.
Just as good as these guys. When will I get my chance to prove it?
Your chance is now. American Marksman is a nationwide series of target shooting competitions designed to give you your big break. Think you've got what it takes to take home $50,000? Visit ammarksman.com to register today. That's ammarksman.com. American Marksman, are you the one?
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily.com, download your 100% free guide, defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Hillary Clinton plans on riding into the White House on the backs of women, but this won't be the first time she used women to get ahead. Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made.
Say that again.
Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made. If you're a woman, don't pay attention to what Hillary Clinton says. Pay attention to what she pays. Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Say that again.
Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Paid for by Ameripac. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Mobile Studios. The second stop on the 2016 Armed American Radio Tour continues here in Sarasota at the headquarters of the Sarasota Herald Tribune. A couple pieces of business we need to get out of the way here first. A couple things I should have mentioned to you in the previous hour, but we'll go ahead and do it right now. The Concealed Carry Expo. USCCA, I'm really talking to you Florida residents now, anybody from around the country that wants to make it, but there's a lot of you now within driving distance of the second annual Concealed Carry Expo sponsored by the United States Concealed Carry Association. It is being held in Atlanta right next to the airport. You can drive it or fly it. Not necessary to get a rental car if you fly. You can drive it up from the Tampa area, for example, at about 6.5 to 7 hours. It's just south of downtown Atlanta. April 29th to May 1st, 2016. It's open to the public, 100% free admission for USCCA members. And we have an awful lot of fun. I MC the fashion show on that night. Sheriff David Clark from Milwaukee is going to be there. I'll introduce you to him. The show hours run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 3 p.m. to 7 on Friday, 9 to 6 on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. The location is the Georgia International Convention Center, 2000 Convention Center Concourse in Atlanta, Georgia. Exhibitors, you can head over to concealedcarryexpo.com and book your space today. Here's some of the guest speakers. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman will be there. Always fun to listen to Grossman. Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, as I said. Dave Young is a seminar presenter. Beth Alcazar from Pacifiers and Peacemakers, and many, many others. You can visit the website at concealedcarryexpo.com. Now, on the topic of concealed carry and the USCCA, the Gun A Day giveaway today. You have 1 hour, 38 minutes, and 35 seconds from the sound of my voice right now. If you're on Eastern Time, getting close to midnight, win this gun. All you have to do is activate your USCCA membership today for your shot, pun intended, to win the free gun in the gun giveaway. We're doing this through the 29th of this month. And even if you don't win and you activate a membership today, you get three chances to win one of three Pendleton gun safes. This is an $8,000 safe. It's a TAC 75. This thing is off the hook cool. Head over to USCCA On Air to check it out. And just in case you're interested on what the Gun A Day giveaway is, because you're going to pull the trigger because you just heard it here, it's a Smith & Wesson M&P Pro Series ported. You're going to love this ported barrel. This gun's MSRP, you dopey, goofy liberals, MSRP means manufacturer's suggested retail price. To Bernie Sanders, it means we should all have the same gun paid for by somebody else. It's valued at $812. USconcealedCarry.com. Check it out. And get in. Let me tell you something. If you're carrying a firearm and you're not protected, well, send me an email, mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we can talk about it. And I think that about covers some of that. I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here, guy. I'm talking with Jeff Young, a pro-gun attorney in the state of Florida, the go-to guy in Central Florida, and Lee, the gun writer, Williams. Lee, let's put our tinfoil hats on. You ready?
Mine's already been on.
Woo, here we go. There is already speculation, I have to admit I thought about this too, how long is it going to take before someone says Scalia was murdered because the Democrats knew and Obama knew that they weren't going to win the White House. We are already, this cements his legacy through the courts, because we know how fragile, Jeff, his legacy is. It's all based on what? Executive action. He's pushed through everything against the will of the people. How long did it take before the internet began booming with some of these conspiracy theories? And one of them that I knew exactly what we were going to see was when they said, I think it was two doctors, Mike? Is that what it was? That had to, both of the doctors that were there that had to,
Two judges.
Both of them, one of them was out. His body was being flown back from El Paso, already embalmed with no autopsy. The minute I heard that that was even a possibility, and I can't confirm. I know we've heard it in the room, but I can't confirm that. What I'm telling you is that I heard that that was possible on, I believe it was Fox News or CNN earlier today, that an autopsy did not have to be done. Sean is telling me it's true. Sean, can you confirm that for me? Washington Times is confirming it?
Okay. Yeah, I heard it earlier on KRLD, which is our AM flagship for CBS News.
Okay.
Legally, though, if a man or a woman is under a doctor's care and they die, they do not need to perform an autopsy. You were a prosecutor. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I don't answer questions that I don't know as a lawyer, but I don't know what the rules are for where he died. Each state's going to have their own rules
sure.
about when an autopsy is performed and when an autopsy is not performed.
According to this, he didn't have, because it was natural causes, they did not have sure. to perform an autopsy. Whether or not they have or not, I don't know. Yeah. We're hearing that they didn't, and his body was already being flown back. Now, that just,
sure.
we're going to hear this kind of garbage forever from yeah. now on, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime any of these things pop up, you're going to get these kind of theories and weird conspiracy stuff. I mean, I don't generally prescribe to those things, but I think the problem is it's kind of a symptom of where we are at
Absolutely.
Right now as a country. We are so split. This country has never been so 50-50 since probably the Civil War,
right.
where you've got one side just does not trust the other, and that side doesn't trust the other side. They all think everybody's out to get each other. They hate each other. So anytime something weird like this pops up that could cause a huge political incident on our landscape, there's going to be a segment of the population on either side that's going to blame the other side and think yeah. that there's some sort of conspiracy behind it.
Well, we're warning you here on Armed American Radio, you are going to read about
sure,
it.
Sure, they're
going
to be all over the
place. You are going to read about this crap. You're going to read about it everywhere. And it will make for... You know, you answered my next question, which was, what does this say about where we are today? And you answered that already in your response.
It's already trending on Twitter, Scalia replacement. I think with it, it's going to get even worse. We're going to be hearing every conspiracy theory in the world just for the same reason Jeff said, and it's an indictment about where we are as a country.
I agree.
Where do you think the media, now anybody who's been listening to me for 2 weeks knows my position on the mainstream media, and it's not good. I believe when you combine a biased propaganda arm, which is what the mainstream media has become, it's been infiltrated for many years. Not enough time to talk about that. But suffice to say, it's true. We all know it. Anybody honest knows that the media is left-wing. When you combine that with a vicious, vicious 24-hour news cycle and instantaneous ability for us to get information instantly, this does what to what you just said, the divisiveness and the propagation of these crazy theories?
Well, sure. It just fuels them all. I mean, again... I haven't called them the mainstream media for years because they don't represent the mainstream.
We're anymore. The mainstream,
right? But I mean, again, when you distrust everything that the other side does, you cannot look at anything the president does if you're on the right as anything other than him trying to further his agenda and stick it to you. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that think the same about conservatives and Ted Cruz and Tom. All the other candidates.
Those people are all feeling the
yeah.
burn, baby.
I mean, if you get somebody that's out there...
Feeling the burn. Are right. you feeling the burn,
Anybody
Jeff
Anybody that's
Young?
Out there saying they want to live by the Constitution is now called a radical or right. an extremist. Everybody gets called a Nazi.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy the way it is right now. So you're going to get that small fringe on either side that's just going to latch onto these stories and run with it.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. It's pretty pathetic.
Well, X-Files is back on the air.
It is, yeah.
Well... It kind of is what
it's not
it
as good as it was
20
years
here.
Ago, but yeah.
All right, Sean, how much time we have before this break? Well, there it goes. See, that's the radio host of me. I knew it was coming. Hey, Jeff Young, thank
yep.
you very much for being
You're
here.
Welcome.
Appreciate
Happy
it very
to be
much.
Here.
And we'll be back right after this. We're going to be talking with Florida Carry. Big open carry debate and campus carry debate going on in the state of Florida right now that is going to impact you wherever you are listening to this show when we come back right after this.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a...
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, welcome back to the final half hour. We're on the, we've made the turn here for the third hour of Armed American Radio. What an honor to be here with you today, Miami. Florida listeners in general, pay very careful attention to our next topic over the next two segments. Rich Nazcak from Florida Carry is here with us at the table. And this conversation, whether you live in Florida or not, matters to you, because this fight is coming to a state near you. You're witnessing what's happening in Florida, which used to be called or still is referred to as the Gunshine State. This is personal for me because I consider Florida my home. Place I lived the longest as an adult. Lots of firsts for me in Florida. Got married in Florida, bought my first house in Florida, met my wife here, had two kids here. Lots of firsts in Florida. Pulled my first gun on another human being in Florida. Sent to a Tampa's finest, scurrying away. The Glock did its job without having to pull the trigger. Wound up writing about that story. It's very well known. So this comes to me personally. This is personal for me.
Home turf.
When I lived in Florida, I moved here in the early 90s, very early 90s, 91, 92, something like that, give or take a year. Lost track. Florida was widely regarded as the number one pro-gun state in the country, more so than Arizona. There was no constitutional carry in Arizona at the time. I had a Florida permit from the moment I got here. Carried my gun about 50% of the time. I used to say that if an armed criminal decided to pick on me one day, there was a 50-50 shot they were going to run into an armed victim because I hadn't yet made the decision to carry my firearm everywhere until November 18th of 2002. That all changed. At about that time, Florida gun laws began to change. The demographics of Florida began to shift noticeably at about that time. Now we move forward 13, 14, 15 years as we get a little farther down the road. And we see a tremendous shift, a demographic shift in this state. I never would have thought at the time I was living here that your organization would be necessary, Florida Carry. Who needed it in the state of Florida? Florida is now one of only 5 states that have no form of open carry. This has been an ongoing battle, Rich, and it is epic right now. Tell us what's happening in the state.
Well, we have 2 bills. Actually, let's speak specifically about open carry. The open carry bill, SB 300, is being held up by one senator. He is the chairman of a committee, judiciary committee in the Senate. His name is Miguel Diaz de la Portilla. And Senator de la Portilla, as committee chairperson, is responsible for scheduling bills for his committee to hear. And simply put, he will not hear the either the campus carry bill or the open carry bill. In particular, he's made comments on the open carry bill that he wants to see the Florida Sheriff's Association amendment into the bill before he'll allow it to be heard. And basically, that amendment guts open carry.
So yeah, we've been very, very hard on Florida Sheriff's Association. I'm no fan of Grady Judd. I think Grady Judd talks out both sides of his mouth. I hope he's listening to this program tonight. He's welcome to call me. He's welcome to email me. I'll be more than happy to put him on the air and tell him the exact same thing. I've played the legislative tapes. No, Grady Judd and the Florida Sheriff's Association, back when he was the head of it, mm-hmm. I played the legislative tapes. I played everything they said. We support the Second Amendment, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. He doesn't support the Second Amendment. We now have Pinellas County Sheriff Galtieri playing games, throwing stones, lying to Florida residents, lying to Pinellas County residents. He doesn't support the Second Amendment, does he, Lee?
Not at all.
No, I know you live here. If you can tell him, you got to play the politics here. I don't.
No, and I don't either.
I've reached out to Galtieri. He doesn't have the guts to come on the show. They're listening in Pinellas County right now.
Right.
If Bob Galtieri's got pro-gun stones, Bob Galtieri can call me, and I'd be more than happy to put him on this air. And I promise you, I will go as hard as him on the air as I am right now. And this burns me up to the point where I got to be on satellite radio to continue this conversation. I don't like the lies coming from the Florida Sheriff's Association. You and I have discussed it many, many times. And
Diaz de la Portilla.
He's a Republican.
Yes, he is.
Where does he reside? What's his district?
He's in Miami-Dade.
Miami-Dade. Are you paying attention to what we're hearing here? This one man decided your fate. This one man decided your constitutional rights because he doesn't like it?
Yeah, pretty much. His views, he really hasn't come out and said why he doesn't like it other than using the appellation of, well, I don't want a Wild West. I don't want
he doesn't get. Wait a minute. He doesn't. He's a representative of the state of Florida.
Yes, he is.
He's a representative of the constituents who elected him as a Republican to do his damn job, isn't he?
Yes.
So let me ask you this. This bill passed. Let's not go to campus carry first. Let's go to open carry because that's
sure.
The one that's most contentious right now. And that's SB 300.
That's
open carry passed the House how?
Open carry passed the House 80-37.
Overwhelmingly.
Yes.
And De La Portilla?
Well, he's a senator, so he didn't vote. It's a House vote.
Doesn't care?
Well, no, he doesn't care.
What the people
care.
Said
no.
Through their representatives in
no.
the House.
No.
He doesn't care what they said.
No. Matter of fact, campus carry also passed the House overwhelmingly.
Let's go to campus carry real quick. Do you know what the numbers were on the passage?
I want to say it was 80-38.
Similar numbers.
It was very similar numbers. It was basically
overwhelmingly.
Yeah, it was basically 2/3 against 1/3, pretty close.
We also know that the Florida Senate will pass this bill if he brings it up.
We suspect so, yeah. There's enough votes there to get it through.
And we know what Governor Scott will do.
That's right.
Governor Scott's already made his intentions clear.
Yeah.
Governor Scott back in 2011 said that he would sign any open carry bill that hit his desk.
All right. Let me tell you a little bit about the, do I have enough time here? I do. Boy, I'll tell you what, if I start to go off the rails, you got to rein me in, and you know those little buttons there cuts my mic, okay? And we've got an eight-second delay because this really gets to me.
It gets to all of us.
I know it does. I know it does. And let me tell you why it's personal, because I'm armed. And I had some issues with potential weather going back home. And what's my saying on the radio? Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave my cave without my club, right?
Exactly.
I left my cave without my club because of the time I had to get to the airport. I was running out of time. I knew I might have some issues going back with some weather. And I also knew that you covered me, that as soon as I landed, I was armed. Okay? And I'm armed right now. But I can't carry this gun on my person the way I can carry it right across that imaginary line, which, by the way, Florida is the only state in the country that you have to drive north to get south in at this point in the game.
That's
all right?
Correct.
Why the Florida Sheriff's Association, why, what's his name, De La Portilla?
Diaz De La Portilla.
I don't care if I mispronounce his name. Doesn't matter.
DLP.
I wouldn't capitalize it if I was writing it at this stage of the game. Here's the thing. They need look no further than the success of permitted open carry in the state of Georgia right north of their border today for the answers. Everything they're telling you, Florida residents, is an outright lie. I live in Georgia, carry my firearms openly. It is widely accepted throughout the state everywhere you go. There is no fear of a law-abiding armed man or woman anywhere. They're lying to you. They know it, and they are flat out liars. That's Bob Galtieri. That's Sheriff Grady Judd, and that's De La Hu Portilla in Miami or whatever his name is. Don't care. Don't want to capitalize it. These individuals are un-American. I don't care if he's a Republican or a Democrat. I'm going to leave it at that and let you go because I need to take a breath. This angers me beyond belief because I, as a free man in Georgia, have the right to carry my firearm the way I damn well choose. And Miami, Senator?
Yes.
What's his name?
Diaz De La Portilla.
Can't tell me what I can and can't do and how I can and can't carry my firearm, Lee.
Richard.
Yes.
Senate President could take action.
Yes, he could.
Why isn't he?
He's a lame duck. He's out of here by, between this session and the next session.
He could save the bill, right?
Yes, he could. Absolutely.
Well, the fact he's a lame duck and the fact that he's out of here is exactly why he ought to be doing it.
You would think so, but it seems to me that, it seems to me there's a possibility that he's feathering his, next political nest,
yeah,
wherever it happens
to
be.
That's the way they play the games, as pathetic and disgusting as it is. We're getting ready to take a break. That's probably not a bad thing right about now. Florida residents, pick the phone up and call his office. We'll give you the number. Do you have the number?
I can get it.
We can find it during the break. We're going to give you his number. We want you to call him, and we want you to pressure him. This man cannot decide your rights and your freedoms, and you need to very politely, unlike me, tell him to do the right thing. We'll be back right after this.
You and I both know concealed carry is a serious subject, and being prepared to protect your family when it matters most means more than just being a good shot at the range. And that's why 135,000 of your fellow responsibly armed Americans already read Concealed Carry Magazine from cover to cover, including my columns. A subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine isn't just an entire year of unbiased gun and gear reviews. It's so much more. It's real stories from real people who carry concealed every single day, just like you and I. It's life-saving information that'll keep you up to date and prepared. And most importantly, it'll help you be ready and confident to protect your family if you're ever faced with a life or death situation. Begin your subscription today, and not only will you be looking forward to a full year of America's number one publication for responsibly armed citizens, but you'll also automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this offer won't last long, so go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one and the number four, oneofourguns.com, to activate your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. Again, that's oneofourguns.com.
We need every American to take action against President Obama's next executive order by calling the number on your screen. President Obama is exercising another executive power grab, and this assault will be against your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The Obama administration was unable to impose gun restrictions and confiscation through the legislative process, so now he's trying to use executive orders to go around Congress and the Constitution. Obama must be stopped now. If Obama follows through with his executive fiat now, it will lead to the loss of our Second Amendment rights by the time he leaves office. We need you to call 800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama if you believe we must stop Obama's lawless actions. Second Amendment Foundation is going to stand up to Obama, but we need you to call now and give us your opinion. Please call 1-800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama. If enough Americans stand up, we will amplify your voice and stop Obama from another assault on our Constitution.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. We chilled out just a little bit. De La, what's his name? What's his name?
Diaz de la Portillo.
Diaz de la Portillo?
Yes.
He's Cuban.
Yes, he is.
You'd think, with Cuban roots, he would understand a little bit about oppression and would probably take his freedoms just a little bit more seriously, or a little bit more importantly, wouldn't he?
You would think so. You know, it's actually kind of funny. He was basically a victim of redistricting in this last session. And it's very possible that he's going to be
a Democrat.
It's very possible.
I've heard that speculation that he is probably going to be a Democrat. So you may have heard it here first. If he is, well, he's not a Democrat. He'll be a socialist, because that's what they are, and we don't call them Democrats on this program anymore. His number, Miami, is 305-643-7200. 305-643-7200. What's his name again?
Miguel Diaz de la Portilla.
Call him professionally and politely. Ask him to do the right thing. It's that simple. You want to reference, you want to tell him to bring these bills to the floor for a vote. SB 68, that's campus carry, and SB 300, which is open carry. And let me promise you, it works just fine north of your border. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets swatted. It really is a free state north of you. And if these guys had any inclination whatsoever to see to it that you had the right to, that you had the ability to exercise your rights, they'd pick the phone up and make a phone call. The Florida Sheriff's Association might want to consider talking to some of the Georgia sheriffs, don't you think?
Boy, I would be calling north to see how the law's working.
Well,
up there.
You know what would happen if the Florida Sheriff called the Georgia Sheriff? Here's how that conversation would go. Hey, this is Sheriff So-and-so down here in Florida. And here's what you get in Georgia. Well, how you doing? Because Florida's not quite as south as it used to be, is it?
No, it's not.
That demographic matters, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. We have a huge influx of folks that came down here as snowbirds from the Northeast and decided to retire here, and now they're bringing their politics with them.
And that is rapidly shifting the demographics in this state. So, new listeners in Mississippi, what does this matter to you on the Super Talk Network stations? Boston, Massachusetts, what does this matter to you? You know all about gun control. You know all about the efforts of the American left, the un-American socialist left, and what they think of your gun rights. What does this matter in Nevada? What does this matter in Arizona? I'll tell you what it matters. Bloomberg has shifted the fight from the federal level to the state level.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage of the game, you are fighting him right now in the state of Florida.
Absolutely.
Mississippi, you're going to be fighting him. Nevada, you're fighting him right now. Washington fought him. What happened in Washington State, Lee?
Oh, they lost big.
What happened in Oregon?
Yep.
Same thing. They've taken the fight to Nevada. They're taking it to Arizona. There's been some great movement in the state of Arizona. Arizona's a free state. Arizonans love their gun rights, a lot like Texans, a lot like everybody else in free America. They're working on passing legislation right now that says, nope, we can't require any background checks other than what we currently have at the federal level. In other words, expanded background checks will be illegal because we're not going to expand on federal law. We're going to mirror federal laws, essentially what they said. And it looks like it's making some headway. But that's not going to happen in many other states. And it won't happen here in the state of Florida because this is a referendum state.
That's great.
If he nails Arizona, he's coming right here to Florida. And if he comes to Florida and succeeds, he is going to march across the country. Let me remind you that it was the state of Florida, Mississippi, and Nevada, and Minnesota, and everywhere else across this country. It was Florida in 1987 that pioneered the current permit system that we currently have that you benefited from years later. Now, here's the thing. I know there's that guy out there right now, Richard, saying, we shouldn't need a permit anyway. And they're absolutely correct about that. But we're realists here. This is where we are. We can't go backwards, correct?
Right. It's a good first step.
It's a first step. Open carry open carry leads to constitutional carry. Yes. Maybe that's what they're afraid of down the road. Or are they afraid of Northeasterners who don't like guns and are they reflecting that constituency here down here?
Well, you know, they're under the impression that only bad people carry it. Well, but only bad guys and cops.
But I don't want to let me correct something. I don't want to say Boston, I'm not picking on you. Or Connecticut, or even New Jersey. I'm not lumping you all together. I don't want to say Northeasterners. I want to say Northeastern socialists.
Okay.
Okay? Because not everybody in the Northeast is a socialist. There are a lot of freedom-loving Americans up there that we work with and fight with every day. New York, you know exactly what I'm talking about. New listeners in Olean, New York, you're surrounded by the socialists. And unfortunately, they're in your governor's mansion. So we want to be clear with that. I'm not lumping them all together.
No.
There are great freedom fighters in those states. New Jersey, we know we have them on this program all the time. It's the socialist Northeasterners we're talking about that are coming down here into Florida as a demographic. Go ahead. Sorry to...
Well, you know, the thing about the Bloomberg intrusion into the states is you've got to understand that as great as the Second Amendment Foundation, the National Rifle Association, all these wonderful national organizations are, the real fight is in the grassroots state groups. Georgia Carry, Florida Carry, Virginia Citizens Defense League. These are the organizations that are actually have the boots on the ground. These are the organizations that are going through the public records and that are trying to find these issues and these plants. You know, Sean Carana, my co-executive director, a few years back found a city-paid position in the city of Orlando that was occupied by a Mayors Against Illegal Gun plant.
We covered it with Sean on this program. You know, sure. One of the problems you have here in the state of Florida is the location. Believe it or not, I believe this. We talked about it yesterday, Lee. The physical location of the Capitol.
Yes.
Keeps a lot of those boots on the ground from Miami from getting to Tallahassee. Florida's a big place. It's a full day drive to go from Miami, Florida, to get to Tallahassee, Florida.
It's 6 hours one way from where I am.
I'm telling you, Henry, you're not as far as Miami is from Tallahassee. It's a long drive to get there. And as a result of that, they don't face, God bless Marianne Hammer. She's there every single day hammering it out, isn't she? but she's one voice against many, many, many other voices.
Albeit a powerful one.
A very powerful voice, no question about that. But at the same time, when you talk about those grassroots, such as Georgia Carey, we were talking about just a few minutes ago, I'm a long-standing member. I think it was one of the first 100 members of the organization. Atlanta is centrally located for the most part throughout the state. You get off I-75, Georgia's a very rural state. Most of the population in Georgia is within driving distance to Atlanta, so you can get there. Georgia Carey puts out an alert and says, we need as many boots on the ground at the Capitol today for this hearing as we can get, and they're there on a Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know what it's like to get to downtown Atlanta to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Only from the airport.
Okay. It's not an easy drive for those people who live outside the city, but the boots are on the ground because the population is there. So that's something that works against you. There's no doubt about that. So phone calls and letters become even more important, correct?
Absolutely. Now, here's the problem, though. DLP is not taking any phone calls. He's not listening. And he wouldn't even talk with Lopez Rivas, yes. She was the rape victim in FSU.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting. It's simply disgusting. He doesn't want to talk to her because he can't. He doesn't have an answer for her because he's intellectually dishonest. In other words, he's a liar. Miami, you heard it here first. 305-643-7200. You didn't hear it here first. You already knew it. Wow, thanks. Appreciate
our
it very
pleasure.
Much.
Our pleasure.
Sarasota Herald Tribune, we appreciate you very much. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense will be back tomorrow, live from Georgia. Remember, I tell you every week, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom, and I'll see you on the radio tomorrow on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. FloridaCarry.org to get involved. We'll be back tomorrow morning. See you on the radio.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.